Another Monday Night Raw in the books, the final one before Saturday night's main event, which is coming up in Salt Lake City this weekend. We will crown a new world heavyweight champion, or will we? Not sure about that, but we had one last face-off tonight with CM Punk and Jey Uso. In theory, one of these two men will be the next world heavyweight champion. Whether that happens or not, we'll have to wait and see. And then, of course, we have this little side story, which I think at some point will become the main story on this show, of Jimmy and Jey. Are they on the same page? Are they cool? For tonight, they were cool. We'll see if that carries over into Saturday. What we got from Punk and Jey was very basic. Honestly, it really wasn't anything special. Because what is there to really say? You know, the situation got dumped in their lap. The match was supposed to be Seth Rollins against CM Punk. And so they had to recalibrate their plans. We ended up with this match, the least interesting of all the potential matches they could be giving us this weekend. That's not what closed the show, though. They actually closed the show with the women's tag team titles. We don't see them defended on this show very often. Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss, they were on Raw tonight to put the titles on the line against Bayley and Lyra Valkyria. This came out of a social media challenge, a video that Bayley had posted a few days ago. And so that's how this match came together. And when the match was over, and it was a very good main event, when the match was over, we got sort of a little hint as to what Women's War Games is shaping up to look like. We didn't have all the key players on the show tonight. There was no Rhea Ripley. There was no Io Sky, who just had a fantastic match with Mayu Iwatani at the Marigold show just a couple of days ago. I assume that's why she wasn't on the show here tonight. But the Women's War Games match is slowly coming into focus after what we saw tonight. That was actually one of a handful of very good matches on this show. Actually, Sheamus and JD McDonagh had an excellent match on this show. And then we had LA Knight and Bron Breakker, which, you know, we'll talk about. Were it not for the handful of really good matches that we had on this show, that really was the saving grace of Monday Night Raw tonight. Because I thought the rest of this show was very dull. It was largely very boring. We do have a new championship match added to Saturday night's main event. It will be Dominic Mysterio putting his Intercontinental title on the line, but against who? I don't mean Jim Neidhart. We had a singles match, a number one contenders match tonight. Penta and Rusev, the winner, would go on to challenge Dom. I will let you know who that person or people is going to be. But we did get that match added. Now, what people have been talking about all day, actually what people have been talking about all weekend, are these vignettes that have been dropped on WWE social media channels. And they aired a series of them throughout the show tonight. It must have been like four of them. And everybody all weekend, what could this be in reference to? Who's coming back, right? Or who's debuting? Is it Gunther? Because they show you someone's shoes. Someone's walking. Whose shoes are these? Is it Gunther? Is it Chris Jericho? Chris Jericho is like the wildest one, especially given the fact that he's still under contract to another company. But people got it in their heads that, oh, maybe it's Chris Jericho. Like, who is it going to be? Let me put your mind at ease here. And if it wasn't obvious after tonight, I don't know what to tell you. But this is part of the initial rollout for WrestleMania 42 in Las Vegas. So I don't know if it's going to be a series of vignettes or just one big one that they unveil. We didn't get the unveiling tonight, but that's all it is. It's a bunch of hype videos for WrestleMania next year. The dead giveaway was the last one they showed us, which was a spinning poker chip that lands and it says 2026 on it. And then there's another one. You could clearly see it's Cody Rhodes' hand. He's pouring some of that Wheatley vodka into a glass. There's another one with someone wearing jeans and shoes. Obviously, it's Brock Lesnar. That's all it is. So don't get your hopes up. No one is debuting. It's nothing like that. I don't know. Again, maybe later in the week they'll give us the big reveal for what it is. But before people get all excited about what this could be in reference to, they're going back to Las Vegas. That's all it is. This is your Raw on Netflix review. It is Monday, October 27th, 2025. I am the Solemn Monster, our final Raw post-show here for the month of October. Final Raw before Halloween, which is coming up at the end of the week. Very excited about that. Like and subscribe. Super chats are open. I also want to say thank you. I posted this on social media earlier, but I did want to just say thank you again. The latest Sound Off, episode 935, went up yesterday and climbed as high as number 2 for all wrestling podcasts on Apple Podcasts in the United States. Look at this, a little cornet sandwich here. It's like a Oreo cookie, but you know the best part of the Oreo cookie? It's that creamy filling. That's what I am. I'm the creamy filling. So thank you for getting us to number 2, getting me to number 2. If you missed the latest Sound Off, I've gotten a lot of feedback about that last segment, the mailbag segment, the last question in the mailbag. People seem to be very entertained by that. You'll definitely want to go check that out. I will get that up on the YouTube channel tomorrow. But anyway, so thank you. Thank you for that. The other thing I want to mention is that I will be live on Saturday. We are going to be reviewing Saturday night's main event. See, the last couple of ones I wasn't around for, but I'll be here for the next 2. So join me for that post show. That'll be coming up on Saturday night. Of course, I'll be here Wednesday night, Friday night, and Saturday night. So you're going to be getting a lot of me this week. Hopefully you don't get sick of me. And if you do, well, you wouldn't be the only one, I'm sure. They open the show. Let's go back to the beginning of Raw tonight. They open the show with the World Heavyweight Championship sitting on a podium in the middle of the ring. And Jey Uso was yeeting his way through the crowd all the way down to the ring. And then after his music died, of course, he ran it back. And they cued his music up again and he did some more yeeting. You know, look, the live crowds, all the little kids in the live crowds, they love to yeet, right? And they get big into Jay's entrance and very clear, right? It's a lot of fun for them when you're live. When you're watching it on TV, though, and 10 minutes go by and nothing has happened other than watching this man come through the crowd and yeet and sing and then the music stops and they play it again and more yeeting and fucking 12 minutes of the show has elapsed. That's not my idea of fun. But finally, it ended, and now it was time for Jey to speak, and he welcomed us to Monday Night Raw, which, I mean, is just complete cringe. Jey complained about having everybody in his ear. Jimmy's in his ear, Roman's in his ear, his own mother is in his ear. But he says that he's only listening to himself now, and he's focused on winning the World Heavyweight Championship. And he went to go do his catchphrase. That was really going to be it. That was going to be the entire promo here that he was going to give us. And then CM Punk's music hit. So Punk comes down to the ring. And they're circling. The championship is in between them. They're kind of circling each other. And Punk asks the fans if he wants them to run his music back. And they do. And they start playing Cult of Personality again, which was kind of funny. And thankfully he cut that shit off before we wasted another 10 minutes on this. So he told Jey, sorry for stealing your stuff. 4 letters, 1 word, punk. So he's happy that Jey is finally listening to himself. It's no secret that the two of them are friends, which is what makes it harder for him to go into battle against him this weekend. And then Punk mentioned what happened last week. Remember, they had that number one contenders battle royal on the show last week. And Jimmy saved his brother a couple of times, and then ultimately Jey dumped Jimmy out of the ring. Jimmy was not very happy about that. So Punk brought all of this up, and the crowd booed. And Punk admonished the fans and said, no, don't boo that. Jimmy knew the rules. It's every man for himself in a battle royal. There's no need to boo. And Punk asked Jey, how far are you willing to go to be champion? Because he needs to be champion, just like he needs air in his lungs. How far is Jey willing to go when Punk has knocked his grill out of his mouth and he's in a situation where you can't yeet your way out of it? So Jey said that he's been in the deep water before. He knows how to swim. He said Punk tries to paint a picture of him being the bad guy. Screw you, CM Punk. On Saturday night, I'm going to show you who the best in the world is. And Jey closed with his catchphrase, and then he slammed the mic down, and they had a little face-off here at the end. They showed some good fire here, but I mean, this was as basic as it gets. They didn't have a whole lot to say in the annals of great CM Punk promos that we've gotten here on this show, and all of the feuds that he's had since he came back to the company. This will not go down as one of the more memorable CM Punk promos because there's not a whole lot to work with here. Again, this match came about last week. So they had 1 week, to promote this match between two babyfaces who have not had beef with each other at all. Not at all. Yeah, that's why I said, like, of all the potential opponents for CM Punk on this show this weekend, Jey Uso was the least interesting of the bunch. Because even if it was only one segment here on this show that you had to really sell people on the magnitude of this match and why this match could be something special. I mentioned all the different names last week, right? And there's two names in particular that come to mind since, you know, Bron Breakker was not in the Battle Royal. LA Knight and AJ Styles. There you have something to work with. We had a promo segment a few weeks ago with Punk and LA Knight that was actually very entertaining. Instead, we got Punk and Jey Uso, and this is not Jey Uso's specialty. You know, selling you on the big match coming up, standing in the middle of the ring in front of a live crowd and digging down deep and bringing from, you know, out from within him, you know, something that's going to have people kind of really listening in and leaning in and paying attention to what he has to say. That's not Jey Uso. Jey Uso doesn't have a whole lot to say. So you got what you got here. I don't know what else I was really expecting. I pretty much got what I expected, which wasn't much. But I'm still hoping that we do not crown a new World Heavyweight Champion this weekend. And perhaps the Bronze will get involved. Yes, I actually think that if the Vision were to get involved, as if we don't see this all the time, but this is the one exception I'll make where I'm actually hoping the Vision gets involved and they can find a way to drag this thing out until Survivor Series. It's very unlikely, because I'm sure Punk and a lot of these guys are going to be in the War Games match, I'm sure. But I'm holding out hope they could find a way to drag this out. Now we had Penta. One-on-one with Rusev. This was a number one contenders match for the Intercontinental Championship. Penta knocked Rusev out to the floor. He followed with a tope con hilo. This was very early in the match. Back inside, Penta hit a springboard tornado DDT for a near fall. Rusev dropped to the floor. He was out there to regroup. And he caught Penta with a right hand when he followed him out. Back inside, Rusev squashed Penta in the corner with an avalanche. Penta came back with a backstabber. It was a sliding drop kick that sent Rusev to the floor. Penta followed again, and this time he got flapjacked into the ring post. So after a break, Penta jumped into a bear hug, but he fought his way out of it. And Penta went up top, and he dove off right into a Machka kick from Rusev. Rusev went for the accolade. Penta was able to counter into the Penta driver, got a great near fall out of it. It was close enough that the fans thought it was three. It was very clearly not three. And yet the fans, anyway, they chanted, "Ref, you suck." And I thought, you know, this is not the first time in the last several weeks on a WWE show where there has been a near fall that was close, but like we see near fall sometimes where, you know what, it should have been three, right? Or the referee has to hold up or something. But there have been near falls the last few weeks that were close, but like the referee made the right call. There was really nothing controversial about it. And the fans still chant, "Ref, you suck." Maybe it's not the ref that sucks. Maybe it's the fans that suck. I'm starting to wonder. At that point, we had Rio and Bravo Americano. Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate under a mask. They come out along with El Grande Americano. They run in. They attack both Rusev and Penta, so they threw the match away. They went to work on Penta. Rusev rose to his feet behind them, and he disposed of Rio and Bravo. Penta teased the Mexican Destroyer to El Grande until his compadres reached in and they dragged him out of the ring to safety. So, this was the finish I think most of us probably expected. We probably could all see that there was a triple threat match coming. And so, with the outcome of this match, in fact, later in the show, it was made official. that there will be a triple threat match on Saturday night's main event for the Intercontinental Championship. It will be Dirty Dom defending against both Rusev and Penta. So that match has been made official. And you could add this, by the way, to my list of tropes that I talked about on the podcast this weekend. All those things, those little things, those wrestling tropes that annoy me, that don't make any sense logically. You could add this to the list, because how many times over the years on this show have we seen a heel run into a match like this, or in this case, send some of his friends to run interference in a match like this because they don't want to defend their championship against either one of them. So we'll just ruin the match and there's no winner. And so the dipshit heel thinks, well, if there's no winner, then that means I don't have to defend my championship against anybody. And of course, every single time what ends up happening is that the champion has to defend his title in a multi-man match because they're too stupid to realize every single time they do this, they're just fucking themselves over. You could add that to the list of wrestling tropes. It's very low on the list compared to some of the things I talked about, but this is one that I forgot. Now in the back, Jackie Redmond interviewed LA Knight, who had stitches in his head from last week, and he said he came up short in the Battle Royal. She wanted to know, where do you go from here? That's a really good question. We actually had a backstage interviewer asking a very logical question. Hey, LA Knight, where do you go from here? And so he said Jey Uso is going to Saturday night's main event, and he isn't. He doesn't know how to quit, so whoever comes out of the Punk and Jey match will have to deal with him. So evidently he's still going to be in the hunt, according to him anyway. He'll be waiting. He'll be waiting for whoever the champion is. Good luck with that. Now elsewhere in the back, we go to the Vision locker room. And Bron Breakker, Bronson Reed, and Paul Heyman are all together. And Breakker wants to know why they were held out of the Battle Royal last week when they could have demolished every man in the match. And Heyman says, well, you got to look at it like this. It probably would have led to Adam Pearce suspending all of them without pay and being a thorn in their side for the rest of their careers. He said one man shares their vision, which is taking advantage of the winner of the CM Punk Jey Uso match on Saturday after they beat each other half to death. Whoever it is will show up next week as a victim, looking to be victimized by a true victimizer. Heyman says if Braun takes out the one guy who is in the way of them getting that next world title shot, then Braun's path to the championship would be clear. Breakker wants to know who is that one guy, and Heyman said he already went to Adam Pearce and made the match. That guy is LA Knight. Why do I feel like I'm watching reruns of this show every single week? Like, there are times I will watch this show where they'll book a match, and I will think to myself, I feel like I'm watching a rerun. I know this is live television 51 weeks a year, 52 weeks, whatever, but it feels like I'm watching a rerun. This is one of those times. LA Knight, Bron Breakker, where have I seen this before? LA Knight and Bron Breakker. LA Knight and Bronson Reed. LA Knight and Jey Uso. LA Knight and Jimmy Uso. LA Knight, Jey Uso, and Jimmy Uso. LA Knight against Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed. LA Knight and the Usos against Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed and Seth Rollins. Like, there's been so many different combinations of this. And it always ends the same for LA Knight. I'm going to give you one guess how it ended tonight. You chew on that while I move on. Now, we got a video package on a decade of Asuka in WWE. I hadn't realized that. But in fact, she did debut in NXT, I guess, in 2015. So a decade of Asuka in this company, and they showed highlights of her from her undefeated streak in NXT and her Royal Rumble win in 2018, her Money in the Bank win, Elimination Chamber, her various championships. So after that, we go to Adam Pearce's office. Finn Balor and JD McDonagh, they show up, and they're looking for a rematch. They want their tag team titles back, which they lost to AJ Lee on the show last week. And instead, he said they would get a match against a very pissed off man who was illegally eliminated from the Battle Royal last week, that being Sheamus. And JD McDonagh spoke up and says, I'll take the match. So that match was made official for later in the show. Thank God it was, because it was actually ended up being the best thing on the entire show. Then we had Nikki Bella against Roxanne Perez, which may have been the worst thing on the entire show. Roxanne mock-worshipped Nikki at the beginning here, which earned her a slap. Roxanne then got caught with a shot that actually might have legit stunned her for a little bit. After a commercial, Roxanne hit a running uppercut on Nikki while she was up against the ropes, and then a double jump moonsault off the middle rope for a near fall. Roxanne cranked away at Nikki's surgically repaired neck. She had her in a neck vise, and then she went after the back of Nikki's neck with a series of forearms. Nikki double-legged Roxanne and caught her with a running boot. Then she hit a version of I guess you would call it a disaster kick. That's basically what it was. Only got a near fall. She went for her Rack Attack 2.0 finish. What a name, though, for a finish. Rack Attack 2.0. I feel weird every time I say that. It's just not a good name. But she went for it. Roxanne countered out into a sleeper. Nikki escaped. Roxanne tripped her up in the ropes. So she ended up in like a 619 position. I should point out the crowd was D-E-A-D dead for this match. Dead. It was like background noise for whatever they were doing. They were looking on their phones, going to the bathroom, whatever it was they were doing. This crowd could not be bothered to care about this match. It was like a funeral in this building. Nikki hit a spine buster for a near fall. Raquel Rodriguez, she was outside. She jumped up on the apron, so Nikki knocked her down. Roxanne caught Nikki with a cradle, only got a two. Nikki went for a charge in the corner. Roxanne ducked, and Nikki slammed herself face first into the middle buckle. And finally, Roxanne got a version of Pop Rocks out of the corner. Not her best Pop Rocks, but she hit Pop Rocks and she got the pin. That's the most important part. This match was not great. And I'm watching this and I'm going, there's no way Roxanne Perez can lose this match. If she loses this match, it will be a miscarriage of justice. At least she won the match. That's the best thing I could say about it. Now, Raquel attacked Nikki after the match. She was in trouble until Stephanie Vaquer ran down to make the save. Stephanie and Raquel had a little bit of a stare down. And as they're staring down, you see in the background, here comes Nikki Bella. It was just funny the way she just kind of interjected herself. I guess the idea was that, you know, Raquel was going to back down at that point, which she did. She decided to stand down. And so that was it. This match wasn't very good. It really was not. And Nikki, the thing with Nikki is she looks so out of place with the women in this division. It's like she's trying too hard to fit in. I think that's why I almost laughed when I'm looking at Stephanie and Raquel in this face-to-face, and then Nikki just sort of pops up. Like she's trying hard to fit in here, but it just feels like, and she was in many ways, she was transported from another era here of the women's division in this company into this one. And there just are a lot of other women who were in line in front of her. So, you know, if they want to use her name because she has name value, right? She was the longest reigning Divas champion and she had success and she has her fans. And if they want to use her in a role like this where she's going to do the honors for people like Roxanne, I mean, that's fine. But this match here was not it. This was not it. Now, last Friday on social media, they showed the video. Bayley issued a challenge to Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss on behalf of Lyra Valkyria and herself for the women's tag team titles. Now we come back live. Asuka and Kairi Sane, they get on Lyra's case about the whole thing because Asuka feels very strongly about the fact that the Kabuki Warriors deserve a shot at the women's tag team titles. And so Lyra's trying to tell them, look, I had nothing to do with this. It's like she didn't even know that Bayley was going to issue this challenge. So after the Kabukis left, Bayley showed up with matching tag team jackets. She had one for Lyra, as well as herself. Lyra points out, you know, I've never been in the ring before. with Charlotte Flair, and I've never been in the ring before with Alexa Bliss. And Bayley, you know, realizes, you know, that's right. I guess you haven't been in the ring with them before. Now she starts to get worried, like, what if we don't win? What if we don't win the tag team titles? And Lyra has a different take on things. Her perspective is, yeah, but what if we win? And Bayley liked that attitude, and then they did some goofy handshake, and they abruptly cut away. Now, elsewhere, Jimmy Uso approached Jey Uso backstage, and he was not happy at all. He took great issue with Jey saying that it's just him now. That's what he was saying in his opening promo. It's all about me now, right? It's just me, Us, right? So he doesn't like this whole attitude that Jey is sporting lately. And he points out that I saved you twice in the Battle Royal last week, and you dumped me out of the ring. And Jey said, well, it was every man for himself. And Jimmy said, the play was that we would eliminate everybody else, and then it would be every man for himself when it came down to you and me. And Jimmy said, maybe you were afraid of finding out what would happen if we had been the last two. Not a lot of good vibes there between the two brothers. The crowd reacted to that last line. Again, there's something brewing here. I don't know which direction they're going with this. I don't know if one's going heel over the other. If they're both going to go heel, if no one's going heel, they want to keep you thinking like something's going to happen here. But there's any number of ways they can go with it. None of them are particularly appealing to me, if I'm being honest with you. Yeah, the story between Jimmy and Jey is fine. My fear is that if Jey Uso ends up with the World Heavyweight Championship, that this story now has to involve the world title when it doesn't. And I really think at the end of the day, they're not going to put the title back on Jey. Right? There's always that possibility they could, but I don't think they will. Because this definitely does not need the World Heavyweight Championship involved. They could tell whatever story they're going to tell from within the bloodline, right? Jimmy and Jey and Roman. And it does not have to revolve around the world title. Jey wants to win the world title back, but by no means does he actually have to beat CM Punk to win the belt back this weekend. Now that brings us to LA Knight and Bron Breakker. During his entrance, LA Knight is coming out and he looks up and he sees a fan in the crowd right there in the aisleway holding up a sign. And I couldn't tell at first what the sign said, and then I could see. And he grabs the sign out of the fan's hand. And he shows it to the camera, and it says, we want LA Knight, not Jey Uso. Now, his luck, he'll get heat for that. He'll get heat for showing that sign to the camera. Wade Barrett was very blunt on commentary about the stakes of this match. Whoever loses will not be in line for a title shot. Today's episode is sponsored by Mint Mobile. At Mint Mobile, their favorite word is no. I don't know too many people who like to hear that word. I know I don't. I didn't like hearing it as a kid, and I don't like hearing it as an adult. But see, here's the difference. When Mint says no, that means no contracts, no monthly bills, no overages, no hidden fees. Basically, no BS. Which is why I said yes to making the switch and getting premium wireless for just $15 a month. I don't know about you guys, but I hate overpriced wireless. I cannot stand it. Unexpected overages and hidden fees, I mean, those make me even angrier. And a lot of providers get away with it because they can. With Mint Mobile, you don't have any of that. And plans start at just $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text, all delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone and your own phone number with any Mint Mobile plan and bring along all of your existing contacts, too. Since using Mint, their service has been fast and reliable. No dropped calls or, I can barely hear you, are you 20,000 leagues under the sea? Like I've had with other carriers. And when I pay my bill now compared to what it used to be, I just shake my head at how much money I could have been saving each month. And for better service, too. I'm glad I gave Mint a shot, and you will be too. Especially with this special offer for Solomonster listeners. Ready to say yes to saying no? Make the switch at mintmobile.com/Solomonster. That's mintmobile.com/Solomonster. Upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited time new customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. After giving Knight a little flurry of offense, Braun ran through LA with a clothesline. This man looked like the Flash. When he's running back and forth like that in the ring, he really does. I'd rather have him over Ezra Miller in that role. He looked like the fucking Flash going back and forth. So Knight hit Braun with a drop kick to the floor, heading into a break. During that break, Bronson Reed distracted LA Knight, which allowed Breaker to press slam him onto the announce desk. Breaker was back in control after the break was over. He hit an avalanche knee in the corner. Suplex Knight over the ropes to the floor. Breaker ran halfway around the ring outside, and he hit Knight on the floor with a flying shoulder tackle. Back inside, Knight caught Breaker with a jumping neck breaker and a pop-up power slam and a jumping elbow. Knight went for the BFT. Breaker, though, escaped. He went for the top rope Frankensteiner, but Knight slipped out underneath him. And I think he tripped him, and the bump that Braun Breaker took was very, very scary. He basically just fell. He fell down, but he fell down backwards, and he took a very nasty spill on the mat. So the referee immediately went over to check on him. He was holding the back of his head. I'm sure Triple H was holding his breath. His life flashed before his eyes in the back. Oh, no. We already have one man down here. We cannot afford this. He was okay, but it was a very scary fall. Knight set up Breaker for a superplex. Breaker shoved him off. So Knight ran up the ropes, and he hit his megaplex, that's what he's calling it, off the top rope for a near fall. This right here, this last like little sequence here of this match, this is where it kicked up into the next gear. Because I would say the first half of the match, it was all right. But then there was a point in the match, and it was right around here, where it did, and the fans also, they were really getting into the near falls, and you could feel like, okay, we've shifted now, right? We've shifted out of first gear into that next one. So Knight went for the BFT. Breaker escaped again. Bronson Reed distracted LA Knight. That gave Breaker the opening for the spear. But Knight ducked, and Braun went to the floor. Knight went after Reed on the floor and then sent Breaker headfirst into the announce desk. Back inside, Breaker tried for a gorilla press. Knight escaped. He hit a reverse DDT. Knight went up top for an elbow. Breaker kipped up right as Knight jumped off the ropes. So LA Knight rolls through. He jumps up to his feet. He turns around. And what happens? He runs right into a spear. A great spear by Braun Breaker. And Breaker gets the pin. So this turned into a pretty good match here. I didn't like that they booked the match at all, though. That was my gripe with this. See, I knew as soon as they booked this match, I knew the outcome before they even hit the ring. Clear as day. They were not going to beat Braun Breaker. And LA Knight now was in a position where, popular as he still is, I don't know that Triple H looks at him as somebody that we have to protect all the time. There's certain people on the roster, they don't want them to lose. So they'll have some sort of interference or no contest. Knight is not one of those people. He's been beaten time and time and time again, like a drum. And so, of course, if anybody was going to win this match, it was not going to be LA Knight. And as Wade Barrett made clear at the beginning of the match, whoever wins this match is going to be in line. Whoever loses this match is not going to be in contention for the championship. And so now we know who is not going to be in contention for the championship. And that is LA Knight. And that's why I would not have booked the match to begin with. I would not have booked this match to begin with. LA Knight has lost enough matches on this show, primarily to the Vision, to where he can ill afford to continue eating losses like this. Braun Breaker, coming out of that great angle they shot a couple of weeks ago, should be booked, I don't want to say unstoppable. Like he should be beating everybody in 2 minutes. But he should be protected now in a way that they were not protecting him before. And they went in there and they had what ended up being a really good match, but I feel like Breaker gave him too much. Right? So it's like, I wouldn't have booked the match to begin with. I would have had them or Breaker wrestling somebody else, doing something else. But as soon as the match was made, it was very clear how this was going to go. And again, my other issue with it is that it just feels to me, when I was watching them out there, like I'm watching the show on repeat. because we have seen some combination of this so many times going back to the summer. At what point do they move on to something else? And they have these guys mixing it up with other faces on the show. It just feels like the same thing over and over and over again. It's like the easy thing to fall back on. Well, we'll just do another match. We'll just have Bron Breakker again against LA Knight. Great. But at what point does somebody say, you know what? I think we've done this enough. Maybe we should try something a little bit different. Now backstage, Adam Pearce exited his office. He was looking for Dominic Mysterio. And he finds Dom, who is chatting with the Americanos. And Dom explains to Pierce how Rusev and Penta, I guess, you know, they're going to have to go after the Americanos now. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't know they were going to do that. And Pierce said he didn't buy it. And he said, actually, you know, you mentioned that now they're going to have to go after the Americanos. Rusev and Penta, they're both coming after you. And then he made it official that it's Saturday night's main event. Dom would have to defend his Intercontinental title in a triple threat match against Rusev and Penta. So that match is official. Now elsewhere, Jimmy and Jay, they meet again. Jimmy's walking and he comes across Jay, who's just sitting on top of one of the equipment cases. And Jay tells him, look, I love you. That's never going to change. Jay says he's got a lot on his mind and he doesn't have a lot of real estate left. He's only got so much room, I guess, up here, right? Jay asked if they were good. Jimmy said, I feel you. Where's that super chat? Do you feel him, sir? Yes, he feels him. So for the time being, the brothers have made amends. We'll see how long that lasts. We had Sheamus against J.D. McDonagh, who had Finn Balor in his corner. This was the match of the night right here. Always good when we get Sheamus on the show. He is always reliable for at least a good match, if not a great match here on these shows. We just don't get enough of him. Sheamus brutalized McDonagh in the opening. McDonagh clipped his knee and then had a brief advantage, but McDonagh turned his back on him, and so he got clotheslined out to the floor. Outside the ring, Sheamus and Balor, they had a brief stare down. Back inside, Sheamus set up McDonagh for the 10 beats, but Balor pulled JD to the floor. So Sheamus took both men down with a diving clothesline off the apron to the floor. Later in the match, McDonagh caught Sheamus with an acai moonsault on the floor. Back inside, McDonagh hit a 450 splash to follow up, only got a near fall. McDonagh tried kicking and slapping Sheamus. All that did was fire up the Irishman. Sheamus floored him with a pair of clotheslines and the Irish curse backbreaker. McDonagh escaped the 10 beats again. He caught Sheamus with a cradle, only got two. Sheamus finally got McDonagh tied up in the ropes, and he got the 10 beats. So Sheamus went for the brogue kick. McDonagh, though, caught him with a knee. Sheamus gave McDonagh a crucifix powerbomb, but Balor dove into the ring. And not completely, but he dove, you know, it wasn't like he just reached in and put his foot on the rope. He basically dove into the ring and he placed McDonagh's foot on the bottom rope for the break. And there was absolutely no way, there's no way that the referee did not see this. And I'm watching the referee to see if he's going to like at least admonish, you know, Balor and say something or eject him or whatever. He just acted like he didn't see a thing. He looked so ridiculous. Just the position that he was in, there was no way that he did not see this man literally dive into the ring and interfere. But the referee's like, nope, nope, foot on the rope, foot on the rope. Two count only. He looked like a blithering idiot. So, which is not the first time they've done that with their referees, as we well know. Sheamus dropped to the floor, and he gave Balor a brogue kick. So McDonagh dove through the ropes for the save, or the attempted save. Sheamus ended up catching him. Back inside, Sheamus went to the top rope. Balor, though, hit Sheamus from behind with Sheamus' own shillelagh because the referee was preoccupied with JD McDonagh. He didn't see any of this. So Balor whacks him with the shillelagh. Sheamus is basically out on top now. And then McDonagh brings Sheamus all the way down to the mat with a top rope Spanish fly. and he pins Sheamus. That's an upset right there. Even with the assist from Balor, still, JD McDonagh getting a pinfall win over Sheamus, I would consider that to be an upset. Wade Barrett sold this as the biggest singles win of McDonagh's career, which is probably true. And this was an excellent match. We need more Sheamus on these shows. He's not presently involved in any specific program or feud or anything like that. And they really need to start to get something going with him. I think he should be a more constant, maybe not every week, but he should be a more constant presence on these shows. I kind of feel like, you know, at this point, he's almost in that Randy Orton role. And I know Randy Orton has a very particular schedule, probably built into his contract, so that he has, you know, a certain number of days off. But like Randy Orton will show up for a week or two, and then we won't see him again for weeks and weeks on end. Like we're in the middle of that right now. I think the last time we saw Randy Orton may have been early September, right? And then he just disappears. So when I talk about like, oh, we got to get something with Cody and Randy, it's like, it's hard because if he's not going to be around, then you can't do it. Or is he just not around because the time is not right and they're waiting, right? They're waiting for some kind of an angle for him. And then he'll be around more frequently. Sheamus is very much the same way where he'll show up, he'll be in a battle royal or he'll be in a match. And he had that program with Rusev, and they had a whole series, and then he vanished. And then we may not see Sheamus on the show for 3, 4, 5 weeks. So it could be tough to get something going, but I think it's worth it to get him involved in some solid story. Because he does, at least in ring, he is someone who elevates the show. Every time he is on it, and he's in that ring, and you ring that bell, you know what you're going to get out of him. He is one of the most consistent performers they have on that brand. So hopefully they can find something for him to do. And maybe it doesn't involve the Intercontinental title right now. I mean, that's still like the big story for him. I hope they're saving that for, you know, maybe a WrestleMania or something. But yeah, definitely need to get more of him on these shows. Last week, Becky Lynch got jobbed out by referee Jessica Carr again during her match with Maxine Dupree. We come back live. Adam Pearce is talking to Maxine, tells Maxine that after beating Becky twice now, once by countout and then that last match, which was for the title, and Becky got herself disqualified, she's earned another crack at the Intercontinental Championship. Maxine is grateful for the opportunity, but she actually is a little bit, She has this look on her face like, you know what, I don't know if now's the right time. And Pierce is like, well, you don't want the shot? And she said, no, I want the shot and I've earned it and absolutely I want it. But she says, I don't want it to go to waste. Before I get it, I want to call a friend and make sure that I'm ready for whatever comes my way. And Pierce tells her, okay, you call me whenever you're ready. And they shake on it. What is this? Who wants to be a millionaire? I have to phone a friend? You've been gifted a championship match. Oh, you know what? I appreciate that, but not yet. Let's just wait a little bit on that. What the fuck? Now, we know that she's friends with Natty, but we haven't seen Natty on TV in forever. What difference would that make? I need to go talk to a friend, and then Natty shows up. Nobody's going to care. It feels like a way to maybe reintroduce AJ Lee. We have not seen AJ Lee since WrestlePalooza. So that feels to me like AJ may be the friend that she's referring to. Now elsewhere, Jackie Redmond interviewed the women's tag team champions who were in the main event tonight, Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss. And she is talking about how the champions have been accepting all comers, all challenges coming their way. And tonight is no exception, but she wanted to know, why would you take this match on, you know, such short notice like this? Such an impromptu match. And Alexa says that we don't back down from challenges. Charlotte says that they're two wins away from having the most women's tag team title defenses in history. Asuka and Kairi walk in, and Asuka talks about how they deserve the titles. Charlotte says, Asuka, I know I've beaten you a lot, but we would be honored to face you guys and put our titles on the line against you. And so Asuka storms off, and of course, poor Kairi. Poor Kairi gets yelled at. Off she goes. And off we go to another backstage segment. AJ Styles and Dragon Lee. AJ Lee. The new World Tag Team Champions are talking to Adam Pearce. And Styles says that, look, we want to face any deserving team that you feel is worthy of a shot at these titles. Like, you know, basically put us in, coach. You know, we're ready to play. We want to defend these titles. Finn Balor and JD McDonagh show up. Obviously, they want a rematch for the titles. And AJ says, no, you know what? We accept. We want this match. And Pierce says, well, if you want the match, I'll make it official for next week. So we are getting a tag team championship rematch on the show next week. And they close the show with the women's tag team titles. Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss defending the belts against Bayley and Lyra Valkyria. This was the fifth title defense for the champions. Again, I guess they're two away from setting a record that nobody really cares about, but good for them. Bliss and Bayley, they started out. Charlotte got a blind tag and caught Bayley with a clothesline. Bliss got the tag again and took Bayley down with a head scissors. The fans brought out the fireflies on their phones. Valkyria sent Flair to the floor, followed her out with a basement drop kick through the ropes. After a commercial break, Bayley got a tag and she held Bliss up in a fireman's carry so that Lyra could come off the ropes and hit a running blockbuster. Bliss came back with a double DDT to both Bayley and Lyra. So Flair got the... Now, I was going to say hot tag, but it wasn't so much that she got the hot tag. It was more like she got the mild tag, because at this point, I wouldn't say the crowd was going crazy for this match. Yeah, but they were cheering for Charlotte, and they were, you know, mildly happy that she got the tag here. So she came into the match. She came off the top rope, big crossbody block off the top. Flair delivered a pair of fallaway slams and then hit both challengers with a moonsault. Charlotte went for the cover on Lyra. She got a shoulder up at two. So Charlotte sent Bayley to the floor with a big boot. Valkyria caught her with a leg lariat. Bayley fired up. She was demanding a tag. Uh-oh. We're getting the other Bayley here. So Bayley tags in. She hit an elbow off the middle ropes onto Charlotte. Then she rushed over and drop-kicked Alexa off the apron. And then she caught Charlotte with the belly to Bayley, only got a near fall out of it. Bliss got a blind tag. Lyra got the tag as well and ran right into a Sister Abigail DDT from Alexa. They got a big pop. Crowd pop big for that. Bayley, though, made the save. Bayley and Charlotte, they fought on the floor. Bliss came off the top with a crossbody onto Lyra. Lyra caught her and turned it into her Nightwing finish. Only for a near fall, though, after Charlotte made it back into the ring barely in time to break up the fall. That was actually a very good near fall. Charlotte and Bayley, they each got tagged in officially. And Bayley landed a Thez press. The two women brawled until Charlotte floored Bayley with a big boot. She ate all of that. And Charlotte locked on the figure eight. And just as it seemed like Bayley might tap out, Lyra crawls into the ring and she grabs Bayley's hand before she can do so to prevent her from tapping out. Now, as Lyra is laying there, her back is exposed. And she has no idea that Alexa Bliss is setting up for Twisted Bliss. She comes off the top and lands right across Lyra's back. Charlotte and Alexa, they each gave each other a little nod. And then they hit stereo natural selections. And Charlotte got the pin on Bayley to retain the women's tag team titles. Yes, Arizona Zombie says the Fiendess. The Fiendess. Let's start that again. She's the Fiendess. Well, the Fiendess and the Queen, they are still the World Tag Team Champions in the women's division here. After the match was over, the Kabuki Warriors ran in. The only shocking thing about this is that we actually got a clean finish. I thought for sure that Asuka and Kairi in those segments we saw earlier in the night were setting up them interfering in the finish so they could protect both teams. I'm happy we got a legitimate finish here. And they waited until the match was over. Then the Kabukis came in to go on the attack. Asuka held Flair in position for Kairi to hit a standing insane elbow off the top. Then they targeted Lyra. Bayley, though, stood them down. And the Kabukis backed down while Bayley tended to Lyra. and the tag team champions sold on the floor outside as the show came to a close. Very good main event, and I thought that coming into it, I thought they were going to end with a heel turn, with Bayley turning on Lyra. That's why I thought they were closing the show with this. I thought that's what we were setting up for. This was their big tag team championship opportunity, and they were going to blow it, and then we were going to get, you know, the bad side of Bayley, and she was going to have a meltdown on Lyra. So I was a little surprised we didn't get that. I do wonder if they're saving that maybe for War Games. Remember all those years ago in NXT when Dakota Kai came out of, or Dakota, no, what it was Dakota Kai came out of one of the cages, and then it was Tegan Knox, and she attacked Tegan. And it was this great out of nowhere turn, and you had Mauro Ranallo on commentary just freaking out, losing his mind. There are ways that you could do a turn, you know, in like a War Games match and make it this big dramatic thing. Maybe that's what they're saving it for. Maybe it happens at Survivor Series. But speaking of War Games, it does feel like this was the start of the slow build to whatever that match is going to be. Yeah, I was trying to think of like, okay, what is the configuration of these teams going to look like? And you look at what they did here, and I could see a situation where Bayley and Lyra end up tagging with the Kabuki Warriors. You know, maybe it's a situation where, again, you get different versions of Bayley here. You can get babyface Bayley, psycho Bayley, and maybe Bayley convinces Lyra, who's, you know, not convinced that this is what they should be doing, but somehow they end up on the same. Not that they go heel and then join with the Kabuki Warriors, but that they end up on the same side. So you would get Asuka, Kairi, Bayley, Lyra, you know, all on one team together. And maybe they wrestle Charlotte, Alexa, Rhea, and Io. And then if you want it to be 5-on-5, maybe they shoehorn Becky and AJ Lee into the match. And then you get 5-on-5, and you could have Becky, maybe Becky leading one team, and then, you know, AJ could sort of be leading the other. Maybe that's the play here. I don't know. So we'll see. But, I mean, clearly they, you know, left us with the idea that War Games is beginning to take shape here. I thought the first half of this show was largely boring, and the second half was better. It was very much helped by the fact that we had a bunch of good matches. That really is what carried the day here for this show. You know, they're still playing out the story with Jimmy and Jay, and you can see some of these stories playing out. The problem with Raw right now, and it doesn't help that they were missing some people. Like, Rhea Ripley wasn't there, Io Sky wasn't there, Punk was there, he barely did anything. Again, AJ Lee came back, and she hasn't been on the show since WrestlePalooza. John Cena is not going to be on the show for a few more weeks. Roman Reigns is gone. Getting ready for that next big return is Roman Reigns. So that doesn't help. The problem with Raw right now, there's just not a whole lot to get excited about. Honestly, this show feels very dead. Thankfully, we had Sheamus and JD McDonagh. Thankfully, we had a very good tag team main event. Because in the absence of that, if we're just relying on the stories here to carry the day this week, boy, this would have been this would not have been good. That's my issue with Raw right now. Now, this Saturday is Saturday night's main event. This is the card as it currently stands. This may end up being the final card. I don't know that they're going to add anything on Friday. I thought they were going to add Io Sky against Asuka 1-on-1. And instead, we're getting a triple threat, Intercontinental title on the line, Dominic Mysterio, Penta, and Rusev. I don't think Dom is losing that championship. I think he ekes by with a win, and he retains. That's my prediction there. We have Jade Cargill, who did just go heel. She's challenging Tiffany Stratton for the WWE Women's Championship. And I don't see any outcome here other than Jade wins the title. She just went heel on Friday. She's already lost before to Tiffany. Tiffany has been dominant the entire year. Literally one loss the entire year for Tiffany Stratton. And that was the loss to Stephanie at Crown Jewel. She has to lose. It's time. The time has come. I don't even care what you think about whether or not Jade should be the champion. She's ready to be the champion. the only outcome here that really makes sense, the only outcome, the correct outcome here, is Tiffany loses that championship. So Jade's going to win the title on that show. We have the World Heavyweight Championship being decided between CM Punk and Jey Uso. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm like, boy, who do I want to win this match? Neither one of these guys. If I'm being honest, I don't have a favorite here. Like, oh, I want this guy to win. I want that. I don't want either one of these guys to win. Honestly, not now. Not, you know, Punk, not now. I'm pulling for the Bronze to show up. Good old Bronze Breaker. I mean, we'll see. If they give us a new world champion, though, it's going to be CM Punk. And then we have the WWE Championship. Cody Rhodes defends against Drew McIntyre. And I talked about this on Sunday. If we are going to get a new world champion crowned, and if Jade Cargill is going to win the women's title, I don't see them changing all... Now Dom's not going to lose. But I don't see them doing a third title change in the Cody and Drew match. So I feel like Cody is retaining. I think Drew should win. I want Drew to win. Drew is my favorite to win here. Do I think Drew is going to win? I don't. And I don't know where he goes from here if he doesn't. That's the only thing. If he goes in there and loses, why would he even get another shot at that point? He already lost clean at WrestlePalooza. So you beat him again here, and he's pretty much dead in the water. But you got Survivor Series coming up. So if they're going to run this back again, or maybe Randy Orton comes back, they make it a triple threat, something has to happen here on this show on Saturday. So ideally, Drew McIntyre would win the championship. But boy, if Jade is winning and Punk is taking that title home, I don't see them changing the title here in this match. I just don't. I don't think they're going to do it. But I'll be live. When the show is over, I'll be live talking about the whole thing. Hopefully you guys will join me. Take a look at the Twitter poll. What did you think of Raw here from Anaheim? 66% thumbs up for tonight's show. 34% thumbs down. You could vote at Solomonster. Just hit 39,000 followers on X. That is where you can find the poll and you can vote. Let me know what you thought of tonight's show. Yeah, Zachary says, I think Punk wins the title but will not have it for very long. If he wins the title, I suspect that you are correct. He will not have it for very long. Although, if he wins it, then I don't think that title is being defended at Survivor Series because he's probably in War Games. That baseball game still on? Top of the 11th inning? Man, I thought it was over by now. Must be a hell of a game. All right, let's go through your messages here. You can still get your super chats on in. I will be reading them here. And also, we are currently at 328 likes. So 400 is the goal if we are to do Be the Booker tonight. So let's try to get those likes up. Hey, Joseph Stewart, what are your thoughts on Dominic Mysterio's AAA run? I think it's great. I think it's great exposure for him. I think watching him go down there, yeah, they were in Mexico City this past week, and the way that he is treated by those crowds, he comes off as a total superstar. He's like a rock star down there. He's going down there and having kick-ass matches. He had a great match with Dragon Lee. So I think it's doing wonders for him. Joseph says, what was Undertaker's gimmick based off of? His gimmick was based off of the old Undertakers from the old West. The old Western Undertakers. Only he was a bit more supernatural than they were. But that was sort of the basis for it. Joseph says, buy or sell Clayface or Killer Croc? Killer Croc. Were you a fan of the Mad Max movies? I was not. Also, rest in peace to actress June Lockhart. She was 100. Well, I think that's what everybody should aspire to get to. You want to at least get to that centennial birthday, you know? Isn't that what... I think Bob Barker was 100, right? Did Bob Barker... I think he reached 100 when he passed away. Look at that. He made it to $1 without going over. Joseph says, were you a fan of Jim Carrey as the Grinch? No. I was a fan of Jim Carrey as the Mask. I didn't really bother with the Grinch. Have you read the Batman origin story, Batman Year One? No. I do have a copy of The Killing Joke somewhere. That I did not read. Dried Chicken. WWE is a mint chocolate company. AEW is an Almond Joy. An Almond Joy, you say? Also, Bob Barker was 99. Okay, well, he made it as close as he could to 100 without going over. See? Look at that. It was just meant to be. Also, move Carmelo Hayes to Raw or let him walk. Yeah, I don't know what they're doing with him. He's still stuck with The Miz. It's just ridiculous. Pick one faction to help you in a zombie apocalypse. I'll go with the Ministry. The Ministry of Darkness. Dry Chicken says TKO, WWE, Jey Uso plus Yeet plus Utah equals Jey Yeetah. I'm surprised they don't put together some lame t-shirt like that, like they did for Damian Priest. It's Wepa time! Yeah, why don't they do that? They should have had a Jey Yeetah. Right, they had these custom shirts for Brock Lesnar. Suplex City, they would have a different one for different cities. They could do some lame shirt for Jey Uso. Super Pony, what's going on, Super Pony? Thank you for the love. Says, does Paul not like the fact that LA Knight got over organically on his own, or is he just a bald fraud that has no idea what he's doing? Maybe there is a little bit of professional jealousy there. I don't know. Or he could be a bald fraud. That's possible, too. That's like the go-to phrase now. Ever since Punk used it on The Rock, called him a bald fraud. Now Triple H is a bald fraud. The Rock is a bald fraud. Ricochet is a bald fraud, or he's just bald. We got B-Man the Champ is with us. Two questions. One word. Uh-huh. No, two questions. One, do you think maybe Jimmy might have been right when he said that he was afraid that Jey would become like Roman back in 2023? Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the story they're playing off of here. And also, has anyone ever told you that you look like Bryan Danielson pre-WWE? No, I've never heard that before. That's the first time I've ever heard that. Wepa also means wow. So, okay, that's even worse. It's like having a shirt that says it's wow time. What an absolutely just lame company. Some of the merch they put out, man. Jeremy Rose, you don't see a Jey heel title run. CM Punk winning is lazy. He needs to win at Chamber or WrestleMania. Either way, LA Knight needs a nice feud with the winner, even though I know Braun is the end result. Braun and Punk at WrestleMania. Braun and Punk is not a WrestleMania match. Braun and Roman Reigns is a WrestleMania match. I don't think Braun Breaker and CM Punk, honestly, is the WrestleMania match. And no, I don't want a Jey heel title run. You want to give Jey a heel run? That's fine. A heel title run, I have no interest in. I don't care if the story is there for it. That's not a story I care to see them tell. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, World Mental Health Day recently passed on October 10th, but just because that day may have come and gone doesn't mean we can't take a moment to say thank you to all the therapists out there. BetterHelp therapists have helped over 5 million people worldwide on their mental health journeys. whether it be coping with a loss in their life or finding out how to become a better version of themselves. BetterHelp is honoring those connections and the therapists who make them possible, and is showing just how easy it is to get guidance from a licensed therapist online. I've used BetterHelp myself in the past for something that I would consider minor, but you'd be surprised how quickly something minor could turn into something major if left untreated. For me, it was incredibly helpful just to have someone to talk to, and for that, I will say thank you as well. And if it helped me, I know it can help you too. Finding the right therapist can be life-changing, and BetterHelp makes that process simple. They do the initial matching work for you so that you can focus on your therapy goals. You fill out a short questionnaire that helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate mean they usually get it right the first time. But if for any reason you're not happy with your match, you can switch to a different therapist at any time. And all BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. As the world's largest online therapy platform with over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp has an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on more than 1.7 million client reviews. The numbers don't lie. This World Mental Health Day, we're celebrating the therapists who have helped millions of people take a step forward. If you're ready to find the right therapist for you, BetterHelp can help you start that journey. Solid Monster listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/solidmonster. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/solidmonster. Dude here, 73. How tilted was Goldberg after the Oscar tribute tonight? Oh, you're implying that Goldberg was actually watching Monday Night Raw. Goldberg does not like wrestling. Goldberg does not give a shit about wrestling. Goldberg does not give a shit about the product. He doesn't watch it. He doesn't follow it. He doesn't pay attention to it. He's in his garage with his cars, enjoying himself. So I don't think he was bothered by it at all because he didn't see it. I can only assume he's morphed into Goldberg in a fit of rage after being reminded that his streak was broken, in his own words, by some Japanese girl. Yeah. Again, you would think after the second or third time he brings this up in an interview that he would at least learn the woman's name. Thank you, dude here. Brian Keith says, another tired trope. Face comes out with the title belt to help the other face from getting beaten down, only to drop it before getting in the ring. There's so many of them. I tried to cover like all the ones that really annoy me. And then like when I was done, I was like, man, I left out like at least five. I'll try to get that segment up on the channel tomorrow, though. It's one for the ages. Duff's Vid says, what happens after you eat alphabet soup? You have a vowel movement. Might have been your best one in a while. Also, what kind of clothes does a house wear? Address. All right, I'll give you that one. Address. Hey, Gyro Sanchez, thank you for the $1.99. And Oz and Glorious says, yikes, CM Punk looks like the 62-year-old love child of Beavis and Butthead with the hair. His hair is getting taller. You ever noticed that? I guess selling out every shred of integrity you have for Riyadh season will age you. It's the hair. I'm telling you, it's the hair. His hair adds like 3 inches now to his height. It's all poofed up like that. It's amazing. Yeah, it's a good point. You know, the whole Goldberg streak thing was, it's kind of silly just because WCW started to embellish his win streak. Like, he didn't actually rack up 173 or 174 wins. It's a fake number. It was real up until a point, and then they just started like, oh, he won. They just like, they were having all these house shows that they weren't having, and they jacked the number up. So it's not even a legitimate number. So that girl beat his streak a lot earlier than 173-0. You like the soup joke, huh? Dups, your soup joke is getting a lot of love here in the chat. You got a vowel movement. Oz and Glory is 53 months of membership. Acknowledge me and hit like. Yeah, we're at 378, so we fell a little bit short tonight. And dynamite is not always the night to hit the goal. But if you want it to be this week, you're going to have to be here with me on Wednesday night, because that's the next time I'm live here on this channel with you. We'll be for the AEW Dynamite post show. Tomorrow night, I'll be over with JD on his channel for episode 118. I believe it's 118 of, we've done so many of them, of Tuesday Night Titans, the best co-hosted two-man show in all of pro wrestling YouTube. And then live here again on Friday night for SmackDown. And as I mentioned earlier, I will be live as well for Saturday night's main event. Not on NBC. Peacock exclusive. Peacock in the U.S. I don't know what's going on internationally, if it's still on YouTube, if they're putting it on Netflix. Again, I'm hearing conflicting things about that. I'm not sure. Oz says, it's not the hair, it's the missing teeth, gaunt face, and Walter White product bags. Yeah, but he's always had bags under his eyes. To go with the leather skin and faded tats. He's had bags under his eyes as long as he's been in the wrestling business. They've only gotten more pronounced as he's gotten older. I can't remember a time where CM Punk did not have bags under his eyes. Oscar says he's excited to visit New York City in just a few weeks. So you're smart. You're getting in before the tree goes up and the city gets all crazed with people who come in for the holidays. Get in now. Get in now before it gets crazy. Before you know it, the tree will be up. Rockefeller Center, where people will be ice skating around. It's hard to ice skate in Rockefeller Center when it's fucking 60 degrees outside, like it was today. So. Oh, man. All right, Oz, thank you for the pair of super chats here. And it does look like we hit our goal just in the nick of time here. Mike says, hey, Solo, Saturday night's main event is on Netflix here in Ontario, Canada. So there it is. There you go. At least in Canada. I don't know if that's the same for the UK and other places. But yes, that is the update on Saturday night's main event. And now that we have hit the goal, we can, in fact, be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen,
how do you like that?
It is now time to be the booker.
Almost didn't make it. Almost didn't make it. But we got it in. It's going to be 65 degrees here in New York on Thursday. It's going to be raining all day. It's like 95% chance of rain. But it's going to be 65 or 63. I forgot the last update. On the day before Halloween. All right, so we begin with our tag team round. We have the Acclaimed as they scissor each other here. We have Anthony Bowens and Max Caster, who are in the process of being reunited on AEW television. So, let's see who the Acclaimed is going to be stepping into the ring with. Who will they be scissoring? Who will the Acclaimed be scissoring here? They're going to be scissoring Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan and Edge are going to be scissored by the Acclaimed. Ohtani is at the plate. Are we about to get some baseball magic from Ohtani? I think he tied the game, didn't he? This guy's unbelievable. Edge would be down. Here we go. Women's Be the Booker. We have Mercedes Moné. I believe that belt that she is wearing in this image is the... It's got to be the IWGP Women's Championship, right? One of the many championships that she has held. Although not at the moment. But we have Mercedes Moné going to go one-on-one with Jade Cargill, the woman whose record she just defeated. She just broke. Jade's record is the longest reigning TBS champion in AEW history. And now we will get them in the ring together one-on-one. Mercedes needs to go after the Regina D. Wave title. Oh my God, that's going back. That's going back a ways. The Regina D. Wave Championship. I forgot about that. What was that? 2021 Dynamite? The good old days? All right, it's main event time, baby. We got Bobby Roode, the former TNA World Heavyweight Champion, the former NXT Champion. Bobby Roode is in the main event of Be the Booker. And he will be stepping into the ring with him, Carmelo Hayes. What do we think about this as our main event? Bobby Roode against Carmelo Hayes. I'm giving that the bell. That is a clean sweep, folks. It may not be the most star-studded main event that we've ever booked, but that's a solid-ass main event right there. And that, under the buzzer, no less, we did this Be the Booker, and we got ourselves a clean sweep. So how about that? Was not expecting that. But it all worked out. And Super Pony, this company can't make it any more obvious who their handpicked guys are. What does Breaker have that Mello and Knight don't? Well, like you said, I mean, he was handpicked from day one, from the moment he showed up in NXT 2.0. And funny enough, I think the very first segment in the back where he showed up, I believe, was he shared the screen in that segment, I want to say, with LA Knight. And then they wrestled on TV the following week. From the moment that he debuted on TV, like, he just, the pedigree that he has, he's a Steiner. And he's got certain attributes about him athletically. He's very athletically gifted. Obviously, he's very fast. We know that. Very explosive. But they had him handpicked from day one. So when they are in your corner and they put the machine behind you that early in your career and they have you tabbed for greatness, you're going to have an advantage. LA Knight, when he came into the company, he was already well established elsewhere. He was older, right? That's the other thing. He's got youth. Now, Carmelo Hayes, I don't know. How old is Carmelo Hayes? I don't think Carmelo Hayes is as young as Bron Breakker. So, you know, with him, age is less of an issue. But he didn't have the machine behind him in the way that Bron Breakker did. That's the difference. Duff's Vids, why did the ghost go to the bar? He went for the booze. I should have used this.
He went for the booze. Happy early Halloween, everyone.
Thank you, Duffs. He went for the booze. I'm going to have to have some of that myself this week. Maybe on Friday. We'll see. Mello is 29. Mello is 29-30. Well, he's not 29-30. He's 29 or 30. He is not 2,930 years old. He can't be both. So pick one. But compare that to Bron Breakker. I'm sure Breakker is, you know, a lot younger than that. So it's all of those things. It's not just age. It's a whole series of things. And they took one look at him and they knew from day one. Like with The Rock. They looked at The Rock. And from day one, they said, this is our blue chip guy. Right? Third generation. Breaker's what? Second generation? Would Breakker be second or third generation? I think second generation. But, you know, second generation guy. Super athletic. They had him pegged from day one. The Winston Slip, 27 months of membership. Thanks for another fun stream. It's my kid's birthday today. Happy birthday, baby Slip. Shout out to Mrs. Slip. That battle axe is one tough lady. Yes, she is. happy birthday to Baby Slip. I hope it's a great one. And shout out to Mama Slip. You called her a battle axe, not me. You're also dating yourself with that reference, by the way. Do kids use that expression anymore? Battle axe? Boots with a five. Street Profits have a cool handshake. Bailey and Lyra have a cool handshake. I'm still workshopping the GWO handshake, hoping to have it ready before GTA 6. Well, you work on that. Bailey and Lyra do not have a cool handshake, by the way. They have a handshake. No one ever said anything about it being cool, but they do have a handshake. So do Jey Uso and Sami Zayn, by the way. Born in 94. Are you saying Breaker was born in 94? So what is he? Let's see. Bron Breakker. Let me look him up. He's got to be younger than Carmelo Hayes. Let's see here. No, he's 28. He's 20. I thought he was a couple of years younger than that. He's 28. Carmelo Hayes is 31. Yeah, it's fine. I mean, my God. 31 is fine. Look at the entire fucking main event scene in this company. It's mostly 40 plus. I think 31-year-old Carmelo Hayes is fine. Jacob Fatu is probably mid-30s. And he probably should be headlining a couple of WrestleManias before his time is up. Yeah, the age thing in WWE really shouldn't be that much of an issue considering how fucking old most of their main eventers are. Yeah, the Turner bot, I've said that before. The thing about Breaker that's fun to watch, he has an explosiveness to him that I haven't seen since Goldberg in WCW. You know, beyond the fact they have the same move and Breaker uses the spear, there's just an explosiveness to his offense. And I noticed it in NXT, and it's one of the things that makes him stand out on the main roster. Because you really don't have anybody else or not too many people who work like that. Anyway, thank you guys for getting us to Be the Booker. Thank you for the questions. Again, I'll be live with you here on Wednesday night. Go back and check out the clips that have hit the channel today. There'll be another one going up tomorrow. That'll be a fun one. But you could also check it out on the Sound Off from this past Sunday. Super Pony. It's the last word here. When Breaker turns face, it will be Big Dog Roman all over again. He will be booed out of the buildings. This company never learns its lessons. I don't think that's going to be the case. And I think the biggest difference is that Roman, he was part of the Shield, but Roman never really had a heel run until well after the point that the fans had already started booing him out of the buildings. Very early on, Vince McMahon loved what he saw and the blue contact lenses. He had a vision for what he wanted this man to be, and the fans rebelled against it. And I think with Breaker, it's a little bit different. You know, they started him out. It was when he came up, he was a babyface, and then he kind of went heel, and then he was kind of a tweener, and it was just very, they didn't know what he wanted him to be. And now he's, you know, he's firmly in the heel role. Fans will cheer for him if they want to. And that's the way to go. It's like Dom. You know, Dom is a great heel. And the fans are starting to, I say starting to, I mean, it really goes back to WrestleMania this year. They've been slowly coming around to him, cheering him in a lot of different places. And eventually he's going to make a great babyface, but there's no reason to rush into it. I feel the same way about Bron Breakker. You know, now that Seth Rollins went down with his injury, one thing they could do is they don't have to have an eye towards when do we turn him babyface? When does he break out of the vision and turn on Seth? Or when does Seth turn on him? Seth's gone now. This should be Breaker's crew. That's one of the big issues I've had with what they've done the last couple of weeks, where he just fell right in line. You know, Heyman's pulling the strings and he's just another guy in the vision now. And he should have taken more of an assertive role. But he'll be a heel, I think, for a while yet. There's no reason to turn him babyface because there's no one for him to turn on. This is his crew now. So you could kind of see the silver lining in it, where they no longer have to look at this as, oh, when does he turn on Seth? Well, Seth is gone. So you don't really have to think like that anymore. All right, be well. Stay safe. I will see you guys back here live on YouTube very soon for more Sound Off. Hit that like button on your way out. And I will see you for TNT tomorrow night and Dynamite on Wednesday. Until then, take care, guys.